There's a very good reason for us to read books like Revelation. And here's Skip Heitzig to explain what that reason is.
You know that I have found that prophecy is a tremendous motivation in witnessing. I know people say, we don't get into prophecy. It's really not relevant. Baloney. Prophecy will motivate you not only toward godly living, but toward godly witnessing. Sharing the truth. I mean, how can you read about the tribulation? How can you read about hell and judgment and not be moved by it, to warn people to avoid it?
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
James tells us not to only be hearers of the word, but doers also. It doesn't do us a whole lot of good to study a book like Revelation if we don't learn anything to apply to our lives. And that's why today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig will tie together everything we've gone over in the past few months in our study of Revelation and help us apply in practical ways what we've learned. And we'll get started with this final message in the series History's Last Chapter in just a moment. But first, here's a resource to help inform you of what's happening on the other side, the dark side of religious practices these days, from author Steve Russo.
The American culture is undergoing some very disturbing shifts in values. Listen to Steve Russo.
We've become so desensitized to violence and rudeness and wickedness, and it's all about what I can get for me. It's like we don't care. It's like there are no moral absolutes anymore.
How has the media's obsession with the occult contributed to this shift? In Steve Russo's book, Fear No Evil, learn how a fascination with movements like Wicca and overindulgence in all sorts of media is having a damaging effect on today's youth.
I've heard too many times kids and parents even telling me, well, you know, Twilight is about good vampires. He's a good vampire because he's a good-looking guy, and this is really a romance. Again, we have lost the concept of a holy God, a pure God. And we've totally, almost totally abandoned, in many cases, the significance of the blood of Christ.
Order Fear No Evil by Steve Russo for just $15 when you contact The Connection at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Our society, and especially our young people, are being misled by interest in the wrong kind of spiritualism. With Halloween right around the corner, it's time for the church to do something about it.
Halloween is not going to go away. There are a couple different ways to approach it. One is completely ignore it and have nothing to do with it, and I think that's everybody has that the right to make that decision. I think it's foolish because it's a great opportunity to do evangelism, and that's the heart of the evangelist coming out of me.
Do you know someone fascinated with vampires, Wicca, and so-called nice witches? Well, they need to read Fear No Evil by Steve Russo. Order today for just $15. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Looking around at our culture today reveals there's a growing interest and fascination with things like Wicca and vampires. Hi, this is Skip Heitzig, and I hope you'll take advantage of this month's offer, Fear No Evil, so you can learn more about the truth behind these movements and figures of the occult. Get your copy today by calling 1-800-922-1888.
Well, thanks, Skip, and that's a great resource to latch onto during this month of October here at The Connection. Our number again, 1-800-922-1888, or you can log on to connectionradio.org to find out all about it. Now open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21 and join us as we review what we've learned from history's last chapter.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
As we begin this final message of our current series, Skip Heitzig tells us of one sure way we can prepare ourselves for Christ's return: worship.
This is God's plan that we've been reading about. God has prepared heaven for you. How can we have any other response than just worship? And it ought to translate into our lives. Notice how utterly cool this angel is. He says, "Don't do that, John. I'm just a fellow servant." Isn't that great? Angels, whom the Bible says are created a level above man. Man is created a little lower than the angels. The angel isn't saying, "Well, you know, I am an angel. And I kind of like this worship idea." There was one who tried that. His name was Satan. This angel says, "No, I may be an angel, but I'm just your bud. I'm your fellow servant, just like all the prophets of the Old Testament, and just like you, John." And he points to God. He points to the Lamb. And in this case, the Father and the Lamb are co-reigning in eternity. Jesus is God. He says, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. I'm the firstborn," or the offspring and the root of David, the bright and the morning star, the capstone of the book. He's the star on the stage, and the angel knows it and points to God. There's a third response that ought to be to the coming of Jesus Christ: witness. Witness. Not only walk, not only worship, but witness. Verse 10. "And he," the angel, "said to me, 'Do not seal the words of this book, for the time is at hand.'" John, the message that I gave to you, as wild as it is, it's not to be hidden, it's to be heralded. It's a message to get out to other people. Don't seal it. Don't keep it to yourself. You know that I have found that prophecy is a tremendous motivation in witnessing. I know people say, "We don't get into prophecy. It's really not relevant." Baloney. Prophecy will motivate you not only toward godly living, but toward godly witnessing, sharing the truth. I mean, how can you read about the tribulation? How can you read about hell and judgment and not be moved by it to warn people to avoid it? Don't seal the words of this book. Now, I talk to some people who say, "Well, you know, religion and politics should never be discussed openly. We should never talk about these things publicly. Especially religion. Politics is okay, but religion especially." I remember Jesus saying something about what you hear in secret, shout from the housetops. Get the word out. Don't keep it to yourself. Spread it around. John, you've heard it. You've seen it. Now I want you to tell it. Well, we have listened to the message of this book. What has it done for you? Is it going to be a sealed book with you? Will it be an open book? As you leave this building, if you leave out toward that direction and you go out toward the courtyard, you see something engraved in stone. It's the words of Jesus: "Go into all the world." I decided to put that there because I got an idea once. A friend of mine who is a pastor of a church, as you leave the church, on the back wall is a banner that says, "You are now entering your mission field." When you leave the doors of this building, you're out in enemy territory. You're always in your mission field. The salt has left the salt shaker. And we can't keep the words of this book or any gospel truth sealed. We have to now spread it. Remember, Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, "I'm writing to you because, first of all, you received the words of the gospel. And second of all, because now the gospel is ringing forth from you throughout all of Achaia, throughout all of that part of the world. They received it, and now they are sharing it." I want you to look at verse 17. It sort of reinforces that point. "And the Spirit," and I infer that as the Holy Spirit, "and the bride," and who's the bride? We are the bride. And what does the bride say? "Come." So not only is the Spirit out in the world drawing people to Christ, the bride who received the gospel, the bride who was changed by the gospel, is the bride who ought to preach the gospel. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him who hears, and we have heard for 44 weeks now these messages, we should say, "Come." Every Christian loves the gospel, right? It changed us. But not every Christian loves to preach the gospel. Did you know Gallup poll says that 95% of all Christians have never led another person to Christ? And I suppose if you were to ask people why they don't, it would probably be, "Well, number one, I'm scared. I'm intimidated. I don't like to talk out loud to people. I'm nervous. I'm an introvert. I'm not an extrovert." That's understandable. Or they will say, I'm not a professional evangelist. That's Billy's job, not my job. I didn't go and take Evangelism 101. Rebecca Pippert said, being an extrovert is not essential to evangelism. Obedience and love are. Obedience and love are. The one who is the receiver of the gospel must be the transmitter of the gospel. The need is urgent, folks. The need is urgent. Even as we speak, there's an exponential growth in population on planet Earth. More and more people are being born who don't know about Christ. And we're told to go into all the world. And if you would take all unbelievers and line them up side by side, you could have a band around the world 30 times. The line is growing 20 miles longer every day. What you've heard, John, don't seal it. And let the bride say, come. Besides that, we need to share the gospel. You know why? We can get stale. We can sort of grow old and professional and just stagnant. It's been said that a church that does not evangelize will fossilize. I know some fossils. God love them. They're saints of God, but they're just, you got to really dig down to find the fossil and see if there's any life there. Stagnation. There's a fourth response, and that is work. Work. Look at verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Now, heaven will be your reward. But you know, that's not all. You're also going to be rewarded besides going to heaven, based upon your work for Jesus Christ now. You're not saved by works. But once you are saved and in heaven, you'll stand before him. And based on your service now, you'll be tested as to your service. And based on that test, you'll either receive a reward or have a reward withdrawn, depending on what you did and why you've done it. Sort of like going to a restaurant and tipping the waiter. He gets paid. He gets a paycheck for being a waiter. He gets usually an hourly wage. But you tip him based on his service to you. Or you withhold tip based on lack of service. More service, more tip. Less service, less tip. This is what Paul said. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due in him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. God's reward is with him. He is coming. It's now time to work. There's not much time left. You know, think of your life in terms of segments. If you live to be the average, and God willing, you'll outlive the average, but if you live the average 70 years, 20 years of your life will be spent working. 20 years of your life will be spent sleeping. 6 years will be spent eating. 7 years playing. 5 years getting dressed. 1 year on the telephone. Some of you have answering machines, so you might make that just a few months. Some of you make that a few years. Also, 3 years of your life will be spent waiting for somebody else. Now, how much of your life will be spent working for the Lord, serving him, giving him your time, your energy, your service? And because he is coming, we want to serve him diligently, don't we? John said, serve him so that you get the full reward, the full reward. Robert Murray McShane, who was a preacher from yesteryear as well, he did a lot for the Lord, but he died when he was only 30 years old. On his watch that he always wore on his left wrist was an inscription at the bottom that said, "The night cometh." And that was from John chapter 9, where Jesus said, "The night cometh when no man can work. So let's work now while it's light. The night cometh." So every time he looked at the time, the night is coming. The night is coming. The night is coming. Right now we live in the day, don't we? It's the age of grace. God is calling people. One day, however, night will descend. The tribulation will fall upon the earth. Yes, people will be saved, but what a dark time that will be. But the day is here. Let's work now while we have time. As that old axiom says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So think of all that you do and ask yourself, how much do I do for God and his kingdom now? You know, one day you'll be in heaven. You say, great, yeah. But you know, in heaven you'll never be able to witness. You'll never again have an opportunity to represent and work for Jesus Christ like you do now. You'll be receiving rewards or whatever else we're going to do in heaven, but this is the day of opportunity. Let's go on to the next and the final response. And this is really now for the unbeliever. And that is willingness. Willingness. Verse 11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let he who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. If anyone takes away from him or from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part in the book of life from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He's offering essentially a choice and saying, who's willing? And those last verses that we read are really directed toward unbelievers, giving them a final invitation. You know, when you share the truth with people, they're going to respond to it. Some will say yay, some will say nay. However they respond to the truth of the gospel, if they continue in that truth, they have fixed their destiny. We make choices, but then our choices eventually will make us, right? And so in verse 11, he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. You say, what does that mean? Basically this, one who hears the truth and continues to reject it, continues to say no, continues to do wrong, he is fixing his eternal destiny. Our destiny is not determined by genetics. It's not the way you were born. You make a choice to follow Jesus Christ or to reject him. That and that alone will mark your destiny. In fact, some commentators suggest that the word still in verse 11 should be translated more. And so this is how it would be translated. Let him who is unjust be more unjust. Let him who is filthy be more filthy. He who is righteous, let him be more righteous, and so on. So if you're wrong in this life, you'll be more wrong after death. You will perpetuate your response, essentially. Now let me put that in modern vernacular. If you persist in rejecting Jesus Christ, if you say, no, man, I'm not going to accept God and all this religious bunk. I want to have a good time. Then let me suggest you go out and have the best possible heathen time that you can. Because once you die, the party's over. It's the last good time you'll ever have. In contrast to that is an invitation, a beckoning. The Spirit and the bride say, come. If anybody's thirsty, come, drink. Here's the water. It's free. If you're tired of the cesspool of this world, drink free, refreshing, eternal springs of water. And so of the five responses to the coming of Jesus Christ, this last one is for the unbeliever. Come. Why? Why should I come? Think about it. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. These are the words Jesus gave to the angel that gave them to John about the future of unbelievers and the future of believers. And John has just seen a new heaven and a new earth and rewards, and it's so awesome. He's just fallen down. It's like, wow. It's so amazing. It's so wild. Why doesn't anybody believe? How can you describe, except as John has, how good it's going to be. Down below the surface of a quiet pond lived a little colony of water bugs. They were a happy colony, living far away from the sun. For many months, they were very busy scurrying over the soft mud on the bottom of the pond. They did notice that every once in a while, one in their colony seemed to lose interest in going about with his friends. Clinging to the stem of a pond lily, he gradually moved out of sight and was seen no more. Look, said one of the water bugs to another. One of our colony is climbing up the lily stalk. Where do you suppose he's going? Up, 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 he went slowly. Even as they watched him, the water bug disappeared from sight. His friends waited and waited, but he didn't return. That's funny, said one water bug to another. Wasn't he happy here? Asked a second water bug. Where do you suppose he went? Wondered a third. No one had the answer. They were all greatly puzzled. Finally, one of the water bugs, a leader in the colony, gathered his friends together. "I have an idea. The next one of us who climbs up the lily stalk must promise to come back and tell us where he went and why." "We promise," they said solemnly. One spring day, not long after that, the very water bug who suggested the plan found himself climbing up the lily stalk. Up, up, up he went. Before he knew what was happening, he had broken through the surface of the water and fallen onto the broad green lily pad above. When he awoke, he looked about with surprise. He couldn't believe what he saw. A startling change had come over his old body. His movement revealed 4 silver wings and a long tail. Even as he struggled, he felt an impulse to move his wings. The warmth of the sun dried the moisture from the new body. He moved his wings again and suddenly found himself up above the water. He had become a dragonfly. Swooping and dipping in great curves, he flew through the air. He felt exhilarated in the new atmosphere. By and by, he lighted happily on a lily pad to rest. Then it was that he chanced to look below to the bottom of the pond. Why, he was right above his old friends, the water bugs. There they were, scurrying about, just as he had been doing some time before. Then he remembered the promise. "The next one of us who climbs up the lily stalk will come back and tell us where he went and why." Without thinking, he darted down. Suddenly, he hit the surface of the water. "I can't return," he said in dismay. "At least I tried, but I can't keep my promise. Even if I could go back, not one of the water bugs would even know me in my new body. I guess I'll just have to wait till they become dragonflies too. Then they'll understand what happened to me and where I went." And the dragonfly winged off happily into his wonderful new world of sun and air. There's a new world that awaits us. Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place." He's preparing that for you right now. Are you ready? Would that cause you to fall and worship him, or to just go about status quo? One is an appropriate response, the other is not.
Well, hopefully you won't ignore the warnings of the Bible's last book, or the warnings we're seeing all around us. Make sure you're prepared for Christ's return, because ready or not, he is coming. We'll begin a new series next time, but until then, you can always order a copy of today's message or the entire series we just completed by calling us at 1-800-922-1888. We'd be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6, so call today or visit our e-commerce store at connectionradio.org. And before we go, we also want to encourage you to help us with evangelism efforts that are going on all around the world. You can help us take the gospel to people in need of God's love, and you don't even have to leave your home to do that. Here's how.
The Central American nation of Belize has the second largest offshore reef in the world and most extensive cave system in all of Central America. It also has 127 offshore keys, numerous rivers for rafting and kayaking, wildlife reserves, and of course, miles of gorgeous Caribbean beaches. All of these factors and more draw tourists and thrill-seeking adventurers from all over the globe. But these thrills are short-term. The ultimate joy in life is to know eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the mission of Lighthouse Christian Radio Broadcasting from San Pedro and also heard in Belize City. It is here that The Connection and other Bible-based programs are bringing hope and truth about the real paradise of heaven.
The Connection has Lighthouse Christian Radio. They have a huge impact on the community out there. Everybody knows who that is, and they give away those free radios where it only tunes into the one radio station, and it's solar powered. So kids are just dying to get their hands on those.
You can help the ministry of The Connection reach the people of Belize and other nations around the world with a gospel as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month to be a member, and when you sign up, we'll also send you a new teaching each month. Help us share the good news of God's love with people all over the world as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $25 a month, but that small amount may make an eternal difference. Join the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And when you call about Global Connectors, don't forget to pick up a copy of today's teaching at 1-800-922-1888. Plus, first-time contacts will get a free bonus teaching from Skip. So contact us today, especially if it's your first time to do so, when you call 1-800-922-1888. or when you write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
On our next broadcast, we'll begin a new series that will help you understand and know just who God is. The series is called The Biography of God, and we'll start it Monday here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.